There is a platform of understanding that we need to have as we walk with Jesus Christ. I want you to keep in mind this phrase this morning, and I'm going to lay some framework for the whole first part. We are saved by grace, and that means we are empowered to obey. Would you write that phrase down, please, at the top of your page? We are saved by grace, and that means we are empowered to obey. This lesson is free will or legalism. Legalism or grace, people swing to either extreme, but let's take a look and see what the Bible says about it. Before we get to what the scriptures say, let me ask you several thoughts. Why did you give your life to Jesus? If you're here as a guest or anyone here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Come see us afterwards. We'll be honored to pray with you. But those of you who have given your life personally to Jesus, why did you do that? What did you want from Him? What did you give to Him when you gave Him your life? What did you give to Him? How many understand you exchanged your death and your sin for His freedom and His life? You gave Him your opportunity to go to hell so you could gain eternal life with Jesus. You understand that, don't you? He did not get the fair end of this deal. You understand that? You're breathing? You gave Him your love. But we love Him because He first loved us. All right, legalism is birthed from a heart that is stuck. A heart that is stuck. A heart that thinks that walking with God begins with the exteriors of what I do. Legalism is many times birthed from a person's insecurity toward an intimacy with God. They don't know how to get it. They don't know how to have that kind of personal relationship with Him. And they instead have a security in behavior. And there's your first fill-in. A security or your second one. The first one was, He gave us all. He asked us to give Him our all. That's your first fill-in, the word all. But legalism many times is birthed from a person's insecurity toward an intimacy with God and a security in behavior. But folks, we need to understand this morning, the Bible teaches us your behavior is never good enough. That's why Jesus came and saved you and me. Real change comes from the inside out. And there's your next trend, fill-in. The inside out. Legalism is often expressed with a harshness towards someone else. Here's what you need to do. And don't eat that, or eat this, or go here, don't go there. Wear this, don't wear that. Cold, harsh, brittle. That's a person who has exchanged one miserable lifestyle for another one. That's not the vision of Christianity. No problem, folks, with growth in holiness. Growth in holiness is expected. It's commanded. Our behaviors do change as we come to Christ. I don't do the things I did 30 years ago. I don't do the things I did last year. And in fact, when I allow Jesus to keep changing me, I hear from Him day to day. And He keeps changing me to be more like Him. So grace doesn't excuse my need to change. But I'm not saved by my behavior. I'm saved only by what? By grace. No problem with growth and holiness. That's expected. But the person who is grace-oriented doesn't excuse and continue to sin. The change of our life comes from an attitude and a gratitude of love for Jesus. When you fall in love with Jesus, you're wanting to change. Jesus isn't looking, folks, your next fill-in, for Christian behaviorists, but for Christians who love Him in word and deed. Who love Him in word and deed. You bet He wants us to change to be more like Him. He wants us to not to be sloppy in our attitude. A sloppy, greasy grace, as some have identified it, is an errant understanding of grace. Grace doesn't just excuse everything, but grace receives the power from Jesus to change. He wants us to be more like Him. We don't excuse sin. Sin destroys us. You understand that? Sin destroys people. Sin takes people to hell. The Bible says all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's a scripture page in your lesson, and it talks about these scriptures from Romans and Ephesians. There's no question that we are saved only by the grace of Jesus Christ. We're not saved, though, because we can walk right, talk right, add right, look right, and dress right. You understand that? I'm going to overemphasize that point this morning because we miss that point, or a lot of teaching misses that point. We do not throw away the beauty of grace for the fool's gold of behaviorism. Because you glitter correctly doesn't make you saved. But what does, and one does what is right because one is saved. Say amen or oh no. My heart only changed because I gave my heart by grace to Jesus Christ. But because I gave in my heart, the Holy Spirit works inside of me and says, Kev, you need to keep changing to be more like me. But you got to get the foundations right in understanding. One does right because one is saved right because of a heart change through grace. One continues to grow in doing right because that heart is changed by grace. Salvation is not earned, for by works are you not saved, but by grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The people who are the behaviorists and legalists the most, who take pride in their behaviorism, need to remember that their pride is every bit as big a sin as some of the other behaviors that they condemn. Amen? Pride is sin, folks. And if you're proud of how great you walk with God because of what you do, say, wear, and eat, or whatever it might be, if that's the basis of your relationship with God and you're proud about it, then you need to come back to a root of grace-oriented Christianity. The Bible talks about being saved by grace. Now, I don't have these in your notes, but how many of you understand grace is a free gift? You can write this down if you want. Grace, many times, is defined as getting what we do not deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. We get the gift of Jesus in his life. Do you deserve that? Nope. You know what mercy is, don't you? Not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We get heaven and hell, or heaven, because we give our lives to Jesus. We don't get hell when we give our lives to Jesus. Nice exchange, isn't it? All right. Don't forget your desperate need for the grace of God. A legalist who wants to put on you how you aren't holy because you aren't doing the right things. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about blatant sin. The Bible says if you see a brother in sin and it's a blatant sin, you should reach out to that brother and in a spirit of meekness restore such a one. There is a reaching out to encourage, to exhort, to reprove, to strengthen one another. But if our root is wrong, then our life and our attitudes will be wrong. Ephesians 2:8, I'm going to repeat it. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Romans 3:20 through 23. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. How many of you know you're righteous by faith in Jesus Christ this morning? Isn't that good news? Come on, church, isn't that good news? We love him because he first loved us. Right on, Gladys. It's the love relationship with him that changes my life. We help one another and cover one another in love, and we don't immediately demand perfection of one another because we have the love and grace of Jesus that covers each other in love. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Listen to that out of the Message version. Hatred starts fights, but love pulls a quilt over the bickering. Isn't that good? Look at each other. Say, I love you, brother or sister. Say it southern. Say, I love you. I love you, brother. All right. Our section now is free will means personal choice. Free will means personal choice. The goal and the destiny of each Christian is to be conformed to his image. How many want to look just like Jesus? Come on, let me see your hand. Your hands. Every toe in the place. Every, you know, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to look just like him. No, gee, Pastor Kev, you're asking that question you've asked about 50 times this morning. Well, yeah, that's right. That's the message, isn't it? I want to be changed and conformed to his image. We cooperate with him then. We cooperate with him for the greatest spiritual growth as he keeps changing us. We walk with Jesus in full surrender because we love him. I'm not going to be able to say that enough this morning. We love him because he first loved us. I want you in a real loud voice to declare if you mean it. If you mean it, I love Jesus. Come on, get radical. Say it southern if you want. I love Jesus. Come on, shout it out, church. Don't be too proud to be too loud. I love Jesus. Wow, what a radical church. Romans 8:29, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The whole issue of this lesson is I personally surrender to this Lord who loves me, and I love him because he has saved me. Now that grace, that love, empowers you to make personal choices for Jesus. You get to make personal choices this morning. Your whole life is a series of personal choices. Some good, some bad. Don't you wish every decision you ever made was a great one? How many are grateful God kept you from some of your worst ones? The greatest growth, next point, is for those who are spiritually hungry and thirsty. Those who have surrendered or yielded their lives to him. And they want his perfect will. Question this morning. Why do so many so-called Christians gritch and complain about holiness? Growth doesn't come to the apathetic. I said, growth does not come to the apathetic. You understand, don't you, that the apathetic are pathetic, right? Are you pathetic this morning? No, sir. I'm on fire for Jesus. Right? Are you on fire for the Lord this morning? Look at each other. Shake your head around. I'm on fire for Jesus. Yielding your life. But the apathetic, the people who have gone off the burn, if you will, people who have gone off the burn, who have settled into apathy and laid back attitude toward their walk with Jesus, they've had enough. They don't want to change. They just want to attend church on Sunday morning. If you just want to attend church on Sunday morning, that's fine. But sometime or another, if you're apathetic in your walk with Jesus, you're going to complain about that church trying to put too much on me. The church has just turned so legalistic. Have you noticed it? That's the root of a lot of causes of that kind of complaint. We're not legalistic. We're not trying to put growth on anybody. But if you become complacent in your walk with Jesus, pretty soon you will feel pressure from your friends who want to run after the Lord. They'll share the word with you. They'll be talking about the Bible. They'll be talking about their time in prayer. And you look at them, and after a while, if you're real honest, you'll say, will you just shut up, please? You're making me feel uncomfortable. Are you pushing me? The complaint of that kind of push and legalism many times comes from a heart that's gone off the burn. Ouch. Lord, let my heart be on fire for you and stay on fire for you. Instead, what God looks for is people who take a joyous opportunity for change. There's joy in my heart for Jesus because I love him and he loves me. And it gives me the power to change and friends to help me change and people to get together with on Sunday morning who poke me and make fun of me, but they encourage me and pray for me too. People who will stand with me and people who encourage me in my growth. And this Christian life is not some slack back thing where I just go to church for an hour or maybe they keep me for two. It's not that. It's a walk with God where your ears are open. Your heart's on fire, where there's an encouragement for one another, and we encourage each other. You start growing, and we see the fruit to your life, and there's a family to surround you and say, man, Jesus looks good in you. Jesus looks good in you. I see what God's doing in your life, and I encourage you. And maybe tomorrow I'm discouraged and I need you to support me, and I'm in a family of people on fire for God, and so they're sensitive and they pray for me and they support me. We get together and we share praise reports because there have been jobs or there have been healings or there have been things that have taken place because we're in a community of people who are alive in the Lord. Yeah, you want to shout about it? Amen! Yeah. Are you alive in Jesus this morning? People who have turned away from that relationship with the Lord need to repent and return to a first love relationship with Jesus. Maybe they need to know there is a love relationship available in Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Proverbs 27, 7, a satisfied soul, this is an interesting one, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. I don't need any more. I'm not hungry. Even the sweet things don't taste so good. But to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Sometimes the Lord says, son, daughter, I have an experience for you. Here it is, hand wrapped, it's just there for you. Because you've been praying in your private time with me, Lord, do anything it takes to help me grow. I should preach a message on dangerous prayers. Lord, do whatever it takes to help me grow. Lord, my life's in your hands, do with me what you will. And he goes, okay, honey, I've got this just wonderful opportunity for you. Smile at each other. Say, opportunity. I have this wonderful little opportunity. You open it up and you go, oh, that's a bitter thing. And maybe it is. But when we are surrendered and yielded to the Lord, we look Him in the face and we say, you know what you're doing. You know what you're allowing. God, even this bitter thing, if I take a look at you, it can be sweet as I go through it, because this will help me grow to be more like you. I want to grow to be more like him. Revelation 2, 4 and 5. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. If you've left your first love, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. From the Message Bible, it says, turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste, for I'm well on the way to removing your life from the golden circle. Out of the NIV, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. Do the things you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place. Do you have spiritual hunger, or is there complacency? I'm comfortable where I am. Just don't bug me. I don't see any reason to go any further in God. Come on. How many of you realize, and I say this sweetly to you, I just say it because I'm here and I get to and it's my joy and I have to. Jesus feeds the hungry. He doesn't pamper the comfortable. At Door of Grace, our ministry is to help the most grow the most in Christ, as you fill in. Our ministry is to help the most grow the most in Christ. You know the pastor's job, don't you? Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. The comfortable. Be very careful, folks. Here's the key, okay? Be very careful that you don't judge Christianity by American mentality. We don't judge Christianity by American mentality. What is American mentality? I want to be comfortable at any cost. I want to be happy at any cost. Doesn't matter if I forsake commitment. Doesn't matter. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be happy. Even if I go bankrupt, it doesn't matter. I just want me first. And there's I want it and I want it now attitude. You go to the Bible and you find out about a Christianity that's not necessarily that way. If you hear preaching that constantly tells you that come to Jesus and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous, and you will never have any problems. I am here to tell you that is a false gospel. That's a false gospel. Now, I believe the Lord does want us blessed, and I believe He wants us prosperous. Sometimes that prosperity is in victorious Christian living. Sometimes that prosperity is in peace. Man, there is a immeasurable amount of wealth in having joy, peace, happiness, and forgiveness. It is not necessarily in driving Cadillac. Now, if you drove your Cadillac this morning, great, take us all home in it. It's all right. If you have prospered financially as well, the blessing of the Lord is on you, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm not condemning that. But if you think you're only acceptable to God because you have health, wealth, and prosperity, or else you've missed it, you're looking at most people in Christianity don't have that lifestyle. It doesn't mean you didn't walk right with God. He measures things differently than we do. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
I think that's an important understanding and distinction for us as we understand what is the gospel really all about. All right, be careful that we don't judge the Word of God according to comfortable, serving, or self-serving American Christianity. Door of grace forces nothing, nothing, there's your fill-in. We force nothing on anyone. No one is forced into personal growth by the church. It's got to be personal hunger and free will choice, there's your next fill-in, choice to run after God, not a legalistic pressure from us. That's not what we do here. Now, I will admit there's a positive peer pressure in the body of Christ. There is. And that's the word encouragement. You might have other people come up to you and invite you to Bible studies, encourage you to come to grace gathering, and come to church, come to worship, invite your friends, because we're excited about what Jesus is doing, and we're excited to share that lifestyle together. But that doesn't mean it's a negative legalistic bashing over the head or forcing you. It's an encouragement to come enjoy the life God's got for you. You're here, not to be forced, but your growth, your next fill-in, your growth is up to your hunger. Say that sentence with me, please. Your growth is up to your hunger. Now personalize it. My growth is up to my hunger. Our heart attitudes make a difference in how we experience Christian life. Your next villain is whether or not it's an opportunity or an oppression. Opportunity or oppression. A legalistic thing the church is just demanding of me, or I'm here because I want to be. Let's talk philosophy for a minute. How many of you grew up with the understanding that America was the great melting pot? Okay? The great melting pot. That's America. Do you understand about 15 years ago that perspective and philosophical perspectives began to change? And they began to talk about America is no longer a melting pot. America is a salad. It's a salad bowl in which you throw all the ingredients, and every ingredient is distinct and unique. Now, there's truth to that. I appreciate, believe it or not, I'm going to say this, in small doses, I appreciate tomatoes. Very, very small doses. I like my salad with French fries. But the different ingredients in salad. And this is a genuine philosophical change. It's throughout the educational institutions and colleges, and they will approach their perspectives toward the ethnic diversity, etc., with that change. It was something that really shifted in America. You'll still hear nod given to the melting pot, but it really is the salad bowl. Everything's distinct. Everything's all put in there, and it's its own separate ingredients. As I said, I believe there's some truth to that. I don't have any problems. In fact, I love people. I'm sure you do, too. There's all sorts of culture and backgrounds and heritage, and we get to rejoice in that. It's fun to talk to people about. I used to meet people from all around the world in our ministry in Pullman. They all came to WSU, and so we talked to them. One of the fun things I had, and they weren't tempted too much to hit me, is I'd look at some people and I'd always kind of start their conversation with a little laughter. And so I'd say, oh, well, tell me, do you have a McDonald's in your country? And most of them did, amazingly enough. They also had Coca-Cola, and that'd been around forever. But I love the opportunity to know the differences. And yet, We take Christianity as a salad bar or a buffet line. Your fill-in is salad bar. We take Christianity as a salad bar or a buffet line mentality. If I don't like this ingredient of growth, we simply reach in and remove it. We simply reach in, set it to the side. And then if Jesus tells us to eat it, or if a pastor comes along and says, you need to eat that because it's good for your growth, we cry, legalism! I'm here to tell you, church, Christianity is not a salad bar or a buffet line. The master chef put it all together into a fantastic meal. Doesn't always taste good, but it's good for you. You ever grow up in a home where your mom said, it may not taste good, but it's good for you? You ever say that to your children? Come on, let's be honest. Ever say that to your kids? Three of us did, okay. Three of us did. I used to get my kids to eat cottage cheese. I told them it was in pizza and lasagna and all sorts of stuff. I was not very successful, by the way. But the point is, we need to be careful, and your next fill-in is, not to skip the ingredients necessary for your own personal growth in Christ. Legalism blames someone else for your problem. Free will says, it's my choice. I'm volitional. I'm a choosing being. I'm here in church because I want to be. I read the Bible. I pray because I want to. I choose to. I choose to surrender to Jesus. I choose to run after him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and please God. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. We don't put that phrase away, but many times we just quote, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? All right, Door of Grace family. There are two groups of people here at this church. The needy, there's your first fill-in. The needy, and those who can help the needy. All of us belong to both groups at all times. Well, no, that's humiliating. I'm not needy. Then you're too proud. Because you really are. You might as well just admit it. Each of us have needs in our life, folks. It's all right. Each of us do. It's okay. God didn't make you to be perfect all on your own, never needing any help. But God's gifted you to be able to help others. And God has gifted others to be able to help you. Listen to this. I'm going to read it from the message, but it's fantastic out of the New King James, all the other translations as well. I'm just going to read this from this version because it's really vivid. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. All praise to God the Father and our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. Listen to verse 4. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. That's fantastic. That's the way Christianity works. That's the way the Church of Jesus Christ works. I comfort others with the comfort wherewith I have been comforted, it says in the King James or the New King James. It's our purpose to nurture and develop healthy, functioning, mature believers who know Jesus personally and intimately, who can walk the victorious Christian life. There's your fill-in. The victorious Christian life. The issue isn't my sniveling all the way to heaven and just barely making it in by the skin of my teeth. The issue is becoming more like Jesus, learning how to walk through that turmoil, strengthening others as we go. So there's joy-filled living, victorious living in Christianity now. Folks, if everything's going to happen in the sweet by and by, why would you need victory in heaven What are you going to have victory over in heaven? Jesus? Hello? I need victory in heaven over the angels who are going to come and bless me. They're just going to try, I know. No, you need victory here. There is victory in Jesus. Victory over temptation. Victory over sin. Victory over being defeated. We're committed here at this church to helping you be all you can be. To helping you fulfill the call of God in your life. Do you understand each and every one of you? Each and every one of us has a destiny, a calling in God. Do you understand that? Every member a minister. Look at each other. Say, do you know you're a minister? Do you know you're a minister? Amen. Every person has a part to play. Every person has a part to play. Every person. It's our purpose to develop that, to nurture that, to help strengthen that. And we provide opportunities here at the church to develop the lives of those who, next fill in, want the most possible growth. Folks, anybody can attend church. Those people are welcome here. We have people sometimes who just want to attend. Don't bug me. Fine. We'll try not to bug you. I can't promise you. But we'll just love you. Some people just want to join in and be involved. Great. You're welcome here. There are some people who will come who want to be involved in spiritual ministry. I'm going to talk to those people this morning. Those people who might listen to this tape someday. How will we mentor others who want to be in spiritual ministry? There's a difference in hunger and desire in people. There's a difference in a sense of calling. There's no sense of frustration to the person who doesn't feel called to spiritual leadership, but everybody is welcome here. So we encourage people in their most growth possible to grow in the Lord and who want to grow and who want to be what God wants them to be. Philippians 3, 11 through 16, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Do you understand? Jesus has laid a hold of you for something. He's laid a hold of you for a purpose in your life. And Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind and I press forward to that which is ahead of me. I don't worry about the mistakes of the past. I get them under the blood. I repent. I leave them behind and I press on because Jesus is there. And the will of God is there. And what he wants me to do is there. And bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I see it. I see it. I want to run after him. Well, I'm not called to be a pastor. It's okay. You're called to be a Christian. When you walk in the room, Jesus walks in the room. Hey, was Stephen the lead apostle? No. Stephen wasn't the lead apostle, but Peter was having an experience. Stephen was having an experience with Jesus. I need to straighten up here. Stephen was having an experience with Jesus, and everybody all around him came under conviction. You want to tell me that man didn't have a ministry? Every one of us has a ministry. Your home, your job, with families. Wherever, whenever, whoever you're with, you get to radiate the presence of God. Don't you want to be all that you can be in Jesus? Sounds like a military poster. Be all you can be for Jesus. That's what we're here to help you with. Listen to that out of the message. Listen to this. It's powerful. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. Listen to this. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Fantastic. Next villain. We are not anyone's Holy Spirit. We're not anybody's Holy Spirit. Our hope and our desire is that each person wants to grow an intimate relationship with Jesus and develop a tender heart and a listening ear to hear the voice of God. We hope everybody will listen carefully to the Lord and stay in His Word. Folks, that's the best way to know Him day by day and His calling for your life. Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. 1 John 2, verse 27, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. You don't need that anyone should teach you, as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, so you will abide in him. What's that mean? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And the Holy Spirit talks. God talks. We don't serve a Lord that is dead, that is still in the grave. We don't serve a statue of stone or of metal. We serve a living God. We serve a God who died and who was buried and who rose again. And whoever lives to pray for his saints and to talk to you as his people. God's got a plan. God wants to talk to us. So we're urging everybody, hey, let's listen. Let's get together and share. What'd you hear? What'd God say? It's not in the Bible. If you're hearing that you yourself are the King of Kings, the Messiah of all the ages, and you come and share with me what God has shared with you, I will look and say, I'm sorry, that wasn't God. Got to be founded in the Word. But God will speak to his people. He will lead us. So we're here to especially feed the hungry. Lord, help me grow as much as I can. Help me respond to you. Are you hungry this morning? The old Burger King this commercial. Aren't you hungry? Yeah. Usually when that comes on, I am, as a matter of fact. Aren't you hungry? All right. Repentance, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, reckoning, communion, prayer, fasting, worship, foot washing, dynamic involvement in body life. All are available to you as personal experiences if you desire it. Acts 2, 41 and 47, the verses are instructive. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. Gladly. How do you stay out of legalism? They gladly responded to Jesus first, then you hear his word, you gladly respond. Those who gladly heard his word. Your growth is up to you. Let's talk about legalism for a moment. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines legalism as a strict, literal, excessive conformity to the law or to a religious or moral code. Legalism is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. 2 Chronicles 25, 1 and 2. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Amaziah's heart was not, you're filling, loyal to God. But he did what was behaviorally right or correct. Folks, that is a true biblical definition of legalism. Listen to Ezekiel 33, verse 31. They come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Matthew 15, verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What do we try to do each week as we gather at Door of Grace? Let's make sure our hearts, our minds, our mouths, our attitudes, and our actions are all His. Amen? Say amen or no. Are you breathing? I want to be His. I don't want to walk away from Him. I don't want to have a heart that declares I'm close and a bunch of attitudes and actions that declare I'm not. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You? I want to be true. I don't want to go off the boil or off the burn. I want to be true to it. Now, legalism is not holiness. It's not the same thing, folks. There is nothing wrong with good behaviors. Your fill-in was not. There's nothing wrong with good behaviors. But true holiness begins on the inside and works its way out. If your heart is not right with God, your good behaviors are not going to reap judgment due sin. Did you hear what I said? If your heart's not right, you still do the right thing, but it's not going to reap judgment due sin, but it's not going to reap an accounting for righteousness' sake either. Because you're not saved by your good works. Good works come out of a heart yielded and surrendered to Jesus. They're accounted for righteousness' sake. Make sense? All right, a sure way to legalism is to be apathetic. A-P-A-T-H-E-T-I-C. Did you get that? Apathetic. Expecting somebody else. Expecting the pastors or the spiritual leaders to do it all. Make all the church happen for you or make your spiritual life happen for you. instead of responding on your own to the Holy Spirit's conviction. If you're waiting for somebody to have to point something out to you in order to respond to something, then you've given your own personal conviction away. And that's a sure way to find legalism in your life. Psalm 139, listen to how David prayed. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my anxieties. The King James says, know my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. See, each of us as individuals, we go to God, we say, Lord, show me, change me, deal with me, make me what you want me to be. All right, you've got free will. You can choose to have a right heart attitude. You can willingly, what's the word? Choose. Say the word choose. Deuteronomy 30, he says, God says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose what? Joshua 24, he said to the people in the camp, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. Listen to Moses' choice, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What's your choice this morning? You've got to have free will, or you have, rather, free will to choose to exercise hunger and a full-hearted commitment to Jesus. There's your next fill-in. A full-hearted commitment to Jesus. Your attitude is your choice. If you really want what Jesus wants, you want to get your life cleansed from anything that holds you back or displeases Him. Sometimes, folks, can we be honest? Can we be honest? Five people want me to. Okay, the rest of you, dismissed. No, not really. I know this because I've been there. I'll be honest enough to tell you this. But I want you to understand that sometimes those who are the harshest with you legalistically are there in that position as a smokescreen. Because if I can make you feel you're the problem and you got a problem, you need to eat right, talk right, do right, act right, whatever it might be, if I can put it on your shoulders, then guess what? You don't look too closely at me. It's a smokescreen. Many times, now, end of personal analogy, because I'm going to make another point. I don't want you to think, wonder what he did. All right, many times, the root of a harsh spirit of legalism is a morals problem. Some of the harshest people I've ever known in life, when you finally let the Holy Spirit work, and if they keep walking with God and they don't turn around, usually out finally someday comes an admission of a morals problem at the root of that harshest, legalistic, accusatory spirit. Folks, the issue in life isn't legalism. Jesus expects us all and wants us all to change. You're not going to live on the side, biblically, if you want to be biblical, you don't live on the side of sloppy grace. You do anything, be fine, no problem, Jesus doesn't care. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Okay, he does care, does he? He does care. You know, a good rule of thumb, okay, this is kind of an aside too. A good rule of thumb, the action you're doing, is it what God wants you to do? Good rule of thumb. If Jesus walked in the room right now, would I keep on doing it, number one? Would I ask him to join me in it, number two? Jesus, come on over and sit down with me. You want to do it? If that's not what you think he would like or do, a good rule of thumb is to consider, I must be doing something wrong. Come on, church, smile. True. Okay? So the issue isn't legalism. The issue is we all need to keep growing. We all need to keep changing. We all need to keep becoming more like Him. I want to be more like Him. We could stop the message right now, but I've got plenty of other notes for you. But the point is, do you want to be like Jesus? What kind of church do you want to be? What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? I want to grow as close to him as I can. I want to be as much like him as I can. I want our church to be the church he wants in the scriptures. Does that mean I've got a church full of perfect people? Not perfect people yet, not perfect pastor yet, but all of us are running after the Lord and encourage each other in it. All right? That doesn't belie grace. The need to change doesn't belie grace. So it's not sloppy grace, but it's not legalism that throws you out the door if you have a problem. This is a crucial understanding. This is fundamental. We're here to help you grow as much as you can. Legalism brings death. The Spirit of God brings life. A critical spirit. The root of a critical spirit, the harshest legalist, usually has personal issues inside from which they need to repent. Okay? Amen. Amen. All right. Where are we? Five, three. Three, five. Bingo! You know, I've heard four different places where I am now. Where am I? Commitment. Okay, commitment. All right. Your attitude is your choice. Okay, Philippians 3. Okay, forgetting the past. All right, the next point. You have free will to choose to become a bond slave or a love slave to Jesus. It's the neatest story, folks. If you've ever read Deuteronomy chapter 15, the fill in there is love slave. The love slave from Deuteronomy 15 was a servant who was serving his master. And the master said, you can go free now. And the love slave or the bond slave said, I love serving you. I don't want to go free. I'm here because I want to be here. So they took this person to the doorpost and put an awl through his ear. Sounds like a painful experience. But the point was, that person was marked. They were there because they wanted to be here. That's the way it is in Christ, in Christianity, in walking in grace. I'm here because I want to be here. All right, how to stay out of legalism and grow the most in choosing your free will opportunities. Number one, maintain a close, personal, loving, and intimate relationship with Jesus. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. An intimate relationship with Jesus. As for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied, Lord, when I awake looking just like you. That's what the Bible says. I'll awake satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. I want to be just like Jesus. Legalism never substitutes for a love relationship with Jesus. Legalism never substitutes for lordship. Neither do pastors and spiritual leaders. We are not here to draw you after ourselves. We are here to encourage each other as we run after the Lord. And as we all run after the Lord, you know what happens? We build the closest friendships on the journey because we want to help each other grow and keep on going. Next point, press into conviction or into Jesus for conviction. So be intimate with the Lord. Press into Jesus for conviction. Listen to his still small voice. When he has come, John 16:8, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Be zealous for your own growth. I want to grow. Yes, Lord, here, it's me. I want to grow. Is that your attitude? Keep me growing, Lord. Wait a minute, I'm retired. No, you're never retired in Christ. You might need to get retired, but you're not retired. Not in Christianity. Press into Jesus for conviction. Search me, O God, know my heart. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Does that sound like, no, just walk in grace. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. No. But there's a teacher who's teaching, Paul's teaching was the platform of grace, saying, look, you got to be clean. Let your heart be cleansed from all sin. Eagerly cooperate with what Jesus is trying to do in your life. Put on the new man in righteousness, the Bible says. All right, next point. Pastoral help and spiritual ministry is available for those who desire. Your fill-in is desire. Now, what I want to do for a few moments is discuss the mind of Christ to understand who Jesus is. On a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. The people kept shouting, "As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." What does that mean? That means we go to God as your pastors, and we pray for you, love you, cheer you on in your growth, encourage you, help you see. When you come for help, we try our best to give you the best help we can give you. We want the most growth for those who most want to grow. So here are some attitudes to consider if you want to come for ministry or help. Number one, the OHT. Open, honest, and transparency. You can spell it another word sometimes. H-O-N-T. It's hot. Are you breathing? Have you ever had something in your life that you know you needed some help with sharing and you felt a little uncomfortable doing so? We never push anybody to share anything, but sometimes you know, that weight just won't come off my back by myself. I need some help. I need some prayer. Sometimes it feels a little hot. Oh, boy, you know I can go talk to them, but boy, is it going to be comfortable. Look, we don't fall off our chairs with anybody. We're here to help everybody and pray with you. And so open, honest, and transparent. If you're coming for an issue or coming for help, that's not the time to choose to cover up the thing. Don't hide the most important part of that story if there's something that you need to share and get prayer with or ministry for. We want to help you in the best way possible. You ever heard of the initials VRG? Ever heard that? That stands for a phrase called verbalized religious garbage. You don't smile at me. What's that? Verbalized religious garbage is when you know there's a need, you know there's a real need, you know specifically what it is, so you come for help, but you dance all around the mountaintops and never want to say what it is and try to deny it. Verbalized religious garbage when you're in the middle of your need sounds just like this. Well, I know I'm not perfect. Or, well, we all have sins, don't we? Or, I suppose I have a few problems. Now, if you want to come for help, just share it. Share what the need is. That's not the time to cover it up and live in denial. Okay? I remember when my wife and I were first married, you would have loved Gail. But when my wife and I were first married, we were such different personalities. We fought all the time. We did. We fought all the time. Looking at me, you can sit there and say, "Why, you shouldn't even be a pastor in the pulpit." Fine, you can take that. I'm just telling you, we fought all the time. We needed to repent. And we had our pastors who were our best friends, and they knew the kind of personalities we were. This actually ends up being funny. So for the first couple of weeks, they would say, "Well, how's it going?" And my verbalized religious garbage sounded like this. See if you've ever tried anything on like this. It went, "Well, we're fine. We're just getting built together. We're just growing closer through conflict." Finally, Pastor Carl looked at me and said, "For heaven's sakes, just tell me you're fighting." The whole point is if there's a real need, be real about it. Because then you can get some real help for a real need. So open, honest, and transparent. The Bible says in James 5:16, "Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for each other that you may be healed." All right, be teachable. There's just next fill-in. Be teachable, receiving God's input through others. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:23, "Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The ear of the wise, Proverbs 18:15, "The ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Proverbs 19:25, "Reprove one who has understanding and he will discern knowledge." All right, next, pray for your pastors and believe the, what do you think it might be? The best of them. Wonder who them are. Believe the best of them. They want the best for you. Listen to what the scripture says. 1 Thessalonians, "As we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." We want your best. Turn to each other this morning. Say, "You know what? My pastors want my best. My pastors want my best." I want to give you a word of advice. I want to give you a biblical word of advice. Sometimes the ministry that someone receives may not always produce just peace. We don't try to be harsh, but sometimes God uses pastors to say, now look, you set the ingredient you really needed for your health aside. You skipped it from the salad bowl. You need to pop it back in there, and you need to go to God with this and chew it down and eat it up. And sometimes that word can create conflict. I don't want to eat my broccoli. That's why you'll never find broccoli in my bowl. Okay. So sometimes... Yeah, that's right. Broccoli, tomatoes, now maybe a few tomatoes, but, you know, for croutons, crunch up potato chips, break up french fries. That's a good salad, isn't it? Ketchup, mayonnaise, and Coca-Cola, and cherry pie for dessert. That's why I'm a picture of perfect health in front of you. Some aren't smiling. All right. Look, I recognize that sometimes, as a pastor, you need to understand we want your best, but sometimes... our ministry to you, for your best, might need to be along the lines of something you might not want to hear. Did I say that sweet enough? Yeah, surgery, discipline. You know, when you go for surgery, they cut you open and they try to do it with love and grace. Here, go to sleep, and you know, cut you open. We try not to minister with a legalistic hand. But sometimes the ministry of Jesus is necessary. I want to give you a word of advice. Sometimes that might not always make sense to you. Let me tell you about a wicked, sinful error that people then many times choose to do. They choose to go to someone else who wasn't there, doesn't know what the ministry was, doesn't know what the council was, doesn't know the heart, or doesn't fully understand it. It's no sin to not understand it. Number one, ask God for help and input. Number two, go back to the person who gave you the ministry. It is wicked, sinful sin. How's that? It's sinful sin to go behind the back to somebody who wasn't even there and say, can you believe what they said to me? In a wicked, backbiting spirit. The scripture condemns such contentiousness. That is wicked and it will destroy a church. Remember, your pastors aren't perfect. We're not perfected, we're just selected by God. We do our best to help you. If we cross thread, let's do our best to get it healed. If there's a misunderstanding, go back to the one who gave you the counsel for understanding. It won't do you any good if I give you ministry to go to Pat and say, well, what do you think about what Pastor Kevin said to me? Well, let's see. It doesn't make sense, does it? But sometimes that's how we function in the body of Christ. That's sin. Now, I'm not saying there aren't ever errors made and there aren't ever things that have to then happen because of it. Sometimes they do. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to help us see how do we then go for ministry. Go back if you have a question. Backbiting is never right. Keeping a good spirit is always right. Okay? Make sense? Okay. All right. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. By the way, that input has nothing to do just necessarily with pastors. We're not supposed to backbite each other in the body of Christ. That's when bodies hurt each other. Let's stay friends. Let's believe the best and cover one another in love. It won't do me any good or you any good if you have a conflict together to go to someone else who wasn't there. The Bible says go to your brother, go to your sister, and make it right. So you go back for clarification. If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Don't receive an accusation, by the way, against an elder except from two or three witnesses. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19. All right. Now, fourth point is cooperate fully with God to bring forth new fruit. You've heard from Jesus. You've been open, honest, and transparent. You've expressed your need. You've repented. You've received input. Now let fresh growth come. How many like growing season? Love springtime after winter. You love the new buds that come out, the fresh growth that comes out. And it's a life-giving time. The colors are vibrant, and the season warms up, and life gets better. Let the new growth come. In this church, if you have a need, you're not going to be condemned. If you confess your need and we pray for you, you're not going to be condemned about that need. You're going to be loved, and we're going to cheer you on in your growth. It's going to be great to be able to look at each other, which we do. And we say, Aaron, that Jesus looks good in you. I can see you're growing here. Yay, we're encouraging you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know what you can see? You see them sitting, all those who have gone before us of the Lord, sitting up in the grandstands, cheering you on as you walk with Jesus day by day. That's an encouraging community, isn't it? Isn't it? Say amen or good night. All right, next one. Be consistent. Be consistent in your involvement in church and its activities. Remember, you're in control of your attitude. I have to go to church. I get to go to church. We bring the sacrifice of praise. It's a good thing to come into the house of God. As you press into involvement throughout the church, you're going to get friendships and build yourself closer with others. Everybody in the church has a place, your next fill-in, of vital service. Vital service. Now, for a few quick moments, if your desire is to be in spiritual ministry or leadership, I would fail you if I did not tell you clearly some things that are your free will choice. Building your faith, response to truth sheets, agreeing with truths taught, experiencing these things, being in the Word of God, fellowshipping, we urge you in grace gatherings, service work parties when we get together. Every one of these things are choices you make. Anybody may attend. Anybody can disagree. But if you want to be in spiritual ministry here to others, we're looking for those who, as the Bible says, speak the same thing, believe the same thing, and minister the same things. 1 Corinthians 1:10, out of the NIV, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, so that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Folks, that's true whether or not you've just given your life to Jesus, or you are a pastor or elder from another church who has just moved here to Door of Grace. We ask that you, if you want to be in spiritual ministry here, that you will assimilate what Jesus is doing in this part of God's family to gain an understanding of what it is that we teach here in order to speak the same word. A good acronym on your page. How many want to be fat? The Bible says, I'm there. Bible says they shall be fat and flourishing. Fat in this way. Faithfulness. It's on your notes. And that is a spirit of loyalty. And there's your fill-in. Of loyalty. Believing the best. Reliability. Number two, available. Faithfulness. Faithful. Available. Number three, teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. An attitude that comes out of a tender spirit before the Lord and a desire to speak the same word as the Scripture says. Somebody who wants to take full advantage of the opportunities available here for your growth. At Door of Grace, God has called us to present the most opportunities for growth to those who are the most hungry to receive and grow in the Lord. We're not going to put anything on anybody by legalism. Entry into the life of Jesus, the life of the church, life of ministry, whatever it might be you feel God has called you to do, is up to you. Responsibilities are commensurate with opportunities chosen. We all make choices. We all have priorities that we choose in our life. If we want to build a church together, we do it with people who are hungry for God, who want to put their shoulder to the wheel. Anybody can attend anytime. But we're looking for people who are saying, I'm here because I want to be here. Church, are you here because you want to be here this morning? All the aspects of life are choices. Grace gathering, service crews, Sunday morning, teaching, anybody can do what they want, no problem, as long as it's biblical. But I want to communicate clearly with you as well. Building your faith, building your church, building your ministry, getting you into Christ's body. Atonement and grace is freely given. Spiritual growth, on the other hand, is based on your choice and takes your cooperation with Jesus. Let's hear the end of the matter. Because he first loved me, I love him. I exercise my free will to choose to surrender my free will. That's your last fill-in, folks. Because he loved me, I love him. I exercise my free will to choose to surrender my free will to Jesus. We said a phrase in the beginning, saved by grace means I'm empowered to obey. Luke 9, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? Follow me. If anybody desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So really, folks, the choice is all yours. Will it be free will or legalism? How do you want to choose this morning? Free will choice. Let's stand.